pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country, 2 minutes at a time, for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now with the 2 minute drill around the country, 2 minutes at a time, talking to the people, covering the stories where they are happening. It's brought to you by our friends at All Weather Decks. Get a jump on the beautiful season that's coming. It's just around the corner. I know it's frigid, but trust me, soon it'll be time to get outside. All Weather Decks can build that ultimate outdoor living space. Whatever you got in mind, they can do it. Need some help on some ideas? Go to allweatherdecks.net. Check out the photos of completed projects. Also, check out their map link. We'll show you where they've done jobs all over the metro. I guarantee you they've done some in your neighborhood, the entire metro, and then some. If you've been told, no, we don't work that far away, call Cass and his great team at All Weather Decks, 913-206-1974. Best in the business. That is All Weather Decks. Let's get things started here on the drill. We begin first out of the chute, Tampa, Florida. Zach Blobner, 620 WDAE is there. Zach, how are you, sir?
I'm good. This is like deja vu. I feel like 12 months ago you and I were kind of doing this same ordeal. So it's good to be back at the playoff table.
Yeah, watching everything unfold. And the Bucks are a little banged up, though. Only a three-point favorite over the Rams. Do the odds makers have it right? And how healthy are the Bucks?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like the 2 points. I kind of got the spread around 23 to 21 in my mind of how I see this game playing out. Injury-wise, Rashad Perryman rolled out, so they're hoping to get some wide receiver depth help with John Brown, who they just brought aboard not too long ago, played with Bruce Arians in Arizona. The speedster known as Smoke to his teammates there. Cyril Grayson, the guy who's really come onto the scene late with AB being out of the picture and Chris Godwin being hurt. He's questionable, but Bucks are hopeful that he'll be able to play. So that's the receiver position on the line. That's where everybody's looking. Ryan Jensen and Tristan Wirfs are both questionable, and the Bucks are optimistic that they'll play. We won't know for sure until 90 minutes when the last report comes out before kickoff against the Rams. But the fact that these guys are even both questionable heading into the weekend is a huge step in the right direction considering where they were when the Eagles game ended. So that's good news. Ronald Jones officially ruled out in the running back room, but Leonard Fournette trending heavily towards playing, which will be a big boost on offense all around.
Yeah, and it will. The Rams handled the Bucks the first time. Why will this game be different?
Well, I think two things. If you pick a coin flip in the NFL, you lean towards what? The quarterback and the home field advantage. I think the Bucks have the edge, obviously, in both playing at Raymond James Stadium and Tom Brady as the GOAT. It will be a different game on defense for the Bucks too. They're so healthy right now, healthier than they've been even since week one. Week one in the NFL season with so many returning players in the secondary especially. So we're looking for an entirely healthy defense, which means one thing. Todd Bowles is going to be able to blitz his ass off. That doesn't mean he'll have success, but we've seen with a healthy defense on this Buccaneers team, this roster, when he has all those guys good to go and he can blitz, he does find a lot of success usually.
Yeah, Bruce Arians gets hit with a $50,000 fine for, kind of slapping a helmet of one of his players. Is this a big deal? Is this considered a formality? What's the reaction around Tampa?
You know, I think he felt the fine more than Adams felt the hand on his helmet, ironically. I don't think it's a big deal. Arians hasn't really addressed it too much. He said he plans to appeal it, but honestly, it's not a storyline for the team. They don't care. They're moving forward. It's not something that's really rocks the boat too much. But I think from an outside looking in perspective, we've certainly had a nice chuckle at it. I just don't think it's a big deal. You know, the NFL loves its optics. It's not about what's right or wrong all the time. It's about the perception. So they just did that to be in front of it. That's all it is.
If it's not a big deal and they're just moving on, why is he appealing it?
Well, it's money. It's $50K. I mean, I don't know who would even rich people don't like to give up $50K for no reason. So, and that goes to the whole idea of it being optics, right? So if the NFL really doesn't care about it, they're just doing it to look like the high and mighty, you know, league, protect the shield, they're probably going to let him appeal it and win in terms of getting that money or some of that money back. There's a good history of people appealing fines like this, players and coaches, and getting it lessened. It's a good track record.
Antonio Brown says mental health not the issue with what was going on. And now is it done? Antonio Brown is, you know, a petulant individual that acts like a child at times, and now we move forward. Is this the final, if he says it, or no, is that a sign that, hey, somebody needs to take a look at this guy?
Can it be a little bit of both? I mean, I think, look, clearly yeah. he's got something going on internally and inside his camp where nobody's really been able to get him some help, to get him straightened out a little bit in terms of, like, the reality of the life that he's living. That being said, he also just isn't a great dude. I mean, I give him kudos for the most part keeping things on track with the Bucs. Won the Super Bowl with him last year. I saw him at the boat parade after. He was on his best behavior. But really, this is a guy who doesn't care about anybody else at the end of the day. And I don't think that that has anything to do with CTE or mental health. I think that's just who he is. Not to say those things aren't affecting him in a negative way, because they probably are, and that's sad, and that makes us upset. But AB has a track record of being not a good dude in a lot of different ways. I think it's just who he is.
The world is full of a-holes. I don't understand why a guy playing in the NFL can't just be an a-hole. You know, that one, you know, I'm all for the mental health, and we've come a long way, and rightfully so, on that. But we can't lose sight of, along the way, sometimes there are healthy individuals that are just a-holes, and they should be treated like a-holes. You know, until at least we know something's different, and that certainly seems to be where this one's trending.
And you know how many people wish they could get help and don't have the resources
yes.
that AB has? Like,
yes.
it sucks because he's a guy who has everything at his disposal and just doesn't use it to his advantage.
Yeah, Zach, well said. Very well said on that. Tell me, Montreal now being ruled out, there's not going to be like a sister city for the Rays. They want a new stadium, or they're going to look at a new location, which presumably would then be Montreal, I guess. How does this all end? Did the Rays finally say, listen, this is just being used as a crutch for Tampa to not build us a ballpark? Let's quit screwing around, build us the ballpark, or we're out of here. Are we at the final? You know, is it the championship round? Is it round 12? And this is it. They either build them a ballpark, or they are going to actively seek to leave.
Yep. Yeah, we're at the finish line. I think my cohort, Tom Krasnicki, has been calling it the ninth inning. Pun works there because it is baseball. They're at the end of the line here. I mean, because realistically, the way their lease is set up, if they don't start building in the next year, year and a half, they're not going to have a ballpark to move to. So they have to get it figured out ASAP. And really, in terms of the Rays being in Tampa Bay, if Tampa or St. Pete or both, but my suggestion and assumption is Tampa, don't step up with the money to figure it out and get it done. He's just going to sell the team. He's going to make a ton of money, and somebody's probably going to take it elsewhere.
Yeah, interesting. I hope that doesn't happen. You know, I'd like to see it work. I hate seeing towns lose teams, but certainly looks like where this one is headed. Zach Blobner in Tampa. Great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend. I think we're going to be talking more soon.
Yeah, I got my fingers crossed. Cheers. We'll talk next time.
Tennessee.
Chase McCabe, ESPN 102.5, The Game in Nashville, Tennessee. Chase, how are you, brother?
Doing well, Seren. Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been, you know, minutes, well, at least hours, since we chatted earlier when I was on your show. Tell me, the view around here and the view around Buffalo for the people we talk to is this is, if not the AFC Championship game, the Super Bowl. There is not a lot of attention being given to the Tennessee Titans. Is that the vibe you're getting there in Nashville, or is that just what we're hearing in KC and Buffalo?
Oh, I think that's totally the vibe we're getting here in Nashville. In fact, our afternoon show, Stillman & Company, just had Keyshawn Johnson on from ESPN, and it was pretty apparent that that's the vibe around, you know, the national media and pretty much everywhere else, that everyone's overlooking the Titans and the Bengals, for that matter. In fact, so much so, I think Vegas is too, that you know, they've already released lines for next week. If the Titans were to advance, and both KC and Buffalo would be the favorites going on the road to Nashville. So that's fine. I think that's how Mike Vrabel likes it, though. He likes his team flying under the radar and not getting a lot of notoriety. That comes from a guy that played on a championship team in 2001 with a six-round pick at quarterback that nobody gave a chance to, and they won a Super Bowl. So I think he's wired that way, and he likes it. The rest of the team feeds off of it. And we'll see how it goes tomorrow at Nissan Stadium.
I assume that Derrick Henry is going to play. You can cut me off right now if that's not
the
case.
He is going to play. He has been activated. He is back on the 53-man roster, and he is going to start.
All right, and so how will they handle the carries? Is he going to go back to being the guy that they want to get 20-plus carries to, or does the emergence of Deonta Foreman mean that they'll rotate the backs and try to keep him fresh?
Well, that's a million-dollar question. Both Vrabel's been asked about it. Henry's been asked about it. And the offensive coordinator has been asked about it, Todd Downing. He's been asked as well, and nobody's going to give you an answer, which, I mean, imagine that, not getting an answer from an NFL team. But, you know, you mentioned it. You got Foreman, you got Henry, and you got Hilliard as well as kind of that change of pace back that he's come on the scene the last few weeks, last month or so of the season. So my guess is you're going to see all three running backs in some capacity at some point in the game. But if Derrick Henry is looking and feeling good and you're seeing him make an impact, which I think he can make an impact just being on the field, not even touching the ball, then he's going to stay in the game. So I don't think there's any kind of pitch count or anything like that with him. It's like he's activated. He's on the 53. As we like to say around here, let the big dog eat.
Yeah, I get it. I think it's a fearsome combination if the two of them are both pounding away and both of them fresh. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch and see how they handle things. Ryan Tannehill, where is his star right now? Is this and maybe even Mike Vrabel as well. You know, we did a thing, a couple of topics earlier this week, like what quarterbacks and head coaches have the most at stake. That doesn't mean most to lose. Could be like, you know, something really positive that could come from it. Hey, if Andy Reid wins, he goes into the two Super Bowl club, right? That kind of thing. And, you know, the feeling was kind of that Tannehill and Vrabel are down the list, right? They're both respected, but there's not that much for them to gain, not that much for them to really lose. I think it's because the expectation is that they're not going to win. Are we looking at it wrong? Is Tannehill the unquestioned guy, or does he need to go somewhere, maybe even the Super Bowl, or are people going to start talking about, hey, it's time to go find us one of them franchise quarterbacks?
Well, I think he's the unquestioned guy because they don't have a choice. I mean, they've signed him to a long-term deal, so I don't see him going anywhere. But to your question, I mean, he has a lot to prove. It's not so much Vrabel, because think about Vrabel. Vrabel's going to most likely be coach of the year. He had 91 players, which is one more than you can take to training camp on his roster this year. That's how many players it took for them to get to this point. They're the number one seed. They've won the division 2 years in a row. And yet, you know, and they faced all this adversity. Oh, and their best player was out for most of the season. So I think Vrabel, everybody looks at him going, well, what has he got to prove? I mean, he's doing all this winning in spite of everything, in spite of the fact that the general manager missed on the first-round pick last year, who's not even on the team anymore. The first-round pick this year had injury concerns, got hurt, didn't really play this year at all. I mean, those are all those things that have faced Mike Vrabel. And then with Tannehill, it's just, can he win the big game? If Derrick Henry is not 100%, which nobody really expects him to be, and can't carry the load like he has in the past, can he make the big throws? Can he get the ball to a Julio Jones or an A.J. Brown? Who A.J. Brown is another one that has not performed that great in playoffs in the past. He's got to step up. So I think all the eyes are really going to be on 17. And if he can handle that pressure and put the team on his shoulders, if he needs to do that. So I think asking all those questions about Tannehill is certainly valid.
All right, tell me, what's your prediction on the game? Who wins? What's the score?
I think the Titans win. 3.5 is what is the latest that I've seen. They're favored by 3.5. But I see this as being like a 27-21 Titans-type win. They average 33 points a game with Henry, Jones, and A.J. all in the lineup. I don't think they're going to need that much to win, but they would need that much to beat a Kansas City or Buffalo.
Yeah, they're an underrated offensive team. They're really good. I'm a big Mike Vrabel fan, as I mentioned earlier today with you, and I do worry that the fans start to be, why can't you win the big one? And the answer might be, because I don't have the Hall of Fame quarterback, but we will see how it plays out. I think they're going to beat the Bengals. I think they're going to beat the Bengals soundly, by the way, in this one. And then we'll have a fun one down in Nashville next week with either the Chiefs or the Bills. Chase, always great stuff, buddy. Thanks so much for giving us the details. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
You too, Seren. Always a pleasure to come on.
Brian D, 620 WTMJ, is rocking in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Brian D, how are you, my friend?
Always rocking in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me again.
You bet. San Francisco getting 5.5 from the Packers right now. Is that the right spread?
I think it's about right. I see this game being very close, much like the first one these two teams played back in week three was. That was a two-point game that the Packers won on a last-second 51-yard field goal from Mason Crosby. So I see it 5.5 or tighter than that. I wouldn't expect it to be more lopsided than that by any stretch of the imagination. I would be shocked, Seren, if the Packers or the Niners run away with this football game and win by 10 or 14 points. I think this is going to be a close match, and a lot of people around the state of Wisconsin are going to be taking the heart pills and have sweaty palms at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock on Saturday night.
I love getting on a 5, 5.5, 6-point dog, right? Like the tease down bets. I may or may not have accepted a wager or two back in the day. And when you do that, you write down everyone's bets and you see what happens. Like everybody loves to tease those games down and they usually lose because a lot of those dogs will come home. I give you that information to tell you, I don't think San Francisco has a shot in this game.
Really?
I think the part that everybody's missing, like, and it's really hard for me to jump on, like I said, these 5.5-point dogs. But I think the part everybody's missing is, one, Garoppolo's hand's not that healthy. He's going to play in awful weather, which I think makes every injury worse. They talk about gripping the football for healthy people being a difficulty, but with an injured hand. And, oh, here's the other part, like when we talk about it. Garoppolo sucks, right? How come there isn't more conversation about the fact that Garoppolo sucks? Everybody talks about how important the quarterback is. And the quarterback, you know, I quote him all the time, Vince Lombardi, football, ultimate team game, set the quarterbacks, way too important. All week, everybody writes stories about how the quarterback's even more important. I see a story over here about how, look at the QBRs of the quarterbacks that are there. 6 of the 8 are in the top 8. The other two are like 11 and 13. Can't get there without a good quarterback. And then nobody looks at it and goes, huh, who's throwing the ball best this year? Aaron Rodgers. And who's the worst quarterback left? It's Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo sucks. Why? How is it going to be a close game with Jimmy Garoppolo sucking?
So I'll counter all of that, and it's all valid. I'll counter with this. The Packers played the Browns at Lambeau on Christmas Day and won by 2 points, and the Browns had the ball at midfield in the final minute of that game with a chance to win, and Baker Mayfield threw his fourth interception of the day. The reason that game was close was because the Browns ran for 200 yards in the game and for some inexplicable reason just went away from Nick Chubb. And the thing that I think is going to keep the Niners close in this game is they are so committed to the run. The Packers finished 30th in the league this year in yards per carry against, 30th. They are a terrible run defense that has not gotten that figured out. And when you're faced with Elijah Mitchell and Deebo Samuel, there is a blueprint here to keep the 49ers in this football game by running and Jimmy Garoppolo just not turning the ball over like Baker Mayfield did on Christmas Day. Now, the flip side of that coin is in that game, you would think, okay, maybe Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams didn't have their best days. Not necessarily true. Davante Adams had 10 catches for over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game. So if the Niners can effectively take away everybody else, and let Aaron and Davante get theirs, which they always probably will, and run the football efficiently, that's how I view this being a close game. That's the blueprint, is that Browns game that the Packers were able to eke out on Christmas Day. The Packers have not fixed their run defense. The defense overall is better this year than last year, but there is a gaping hole in the run game that the Niners are poised to exploit, especially on a cold night at Lambeau.
So are the Packers then overrated in your mind? Like, is too much credit being given to the Green Bay Packers?
Yes. and I think they've been so opportunistic on defense this year. I look at games against other contending teams, right? The two biggest of which were the Rams and the Cardinals. The Cardinals were knocking on the door on the 1 yard line on that Thursday night game way back in October, and the Packers were able to get an interception in the end zone to seal that and steal that game right at the end. Could have been a loss, right? The Rams game here at Lambeau Field, the Packers end up winning by 8 points, And Rasul Douglas, ironically enough, who had the interception in the end zone against the Cardinals, had a pick six in that game in an opportune moment. So they've won a lot of close games that could have gone the other way. And I get it. That's the National Football League, right? More games than not are won by the last possession or by about a possession. So that's the way it goes. And the Packers, you're either good or you're bad in those games, and the Packers have been good. But they've gotten away with some stuff defensively because of some opportunistic moments. So I still expect the Packers to win this game tomorrow night. Don't get me wrong, but I would be shocked if it's a blowout. And who knows? Maybe you guys have me on next week and we're talking about a 21-point Packers victory and I have to eat crow with you, Seren. It's all very possible. But it's one of those situations where, having watched this team all year long, I think their defensive weakness is exactly counter to the Niners' offensive strength.
Damn you, Brian D. I mean, I was all fired up. I was confident. I had my pick. I thought I had it all mapped out. And then you're giving me concern. Although I do wonder, is it just a little bit of like you've had your hopes up and thought you were the best team? Thought you had the best team there in Green Bay or in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, only to have your heart torn out. So now there's like, well, how do we figure out how it goes wrong? Right? Like,
there's some of that going on, too, for sure, for Packers fans in our state, right, where Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 against the Niners in his playoff career, and there's still the memory of the butt-kicking in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, where I think Raheem Mostert is still running in that game. Talk about porous run defense. I think he had, like, 150 yards before contact in that football game. It was ridiculous. So there's definitely some PTSD going on for Packers fans about the Niners and about this matchup and about the creativity that Kyle Shanahan has, especially with a jack-of-all-trades like Deebo Samuel. The other thing that's been talked about a lot this week is in the Packers' last game of the season, albeit in Detroit when they didn't play a whole heck of a lot of their starters, they gave up a lot of trick plays to the Lions and got gouged on some of that stuff. And Kyle Shanahan watched that film, so I could see a situation where they employ some of that stuff as well.
All right, two more on the Packers. One, is LaFleur going to start getting heat if he doesn't advance all the way to the Super Bowl, at least to the Super Bowl this year?
No, I don't think he's on any semblance of a hot seat. When you win 39, 40 games in your first three seasons in the NFL, you are comfortably going to be the coach of the team that you're coaching. Now, obviously, a lot of that falls on Aaron Rodgers, and I'll be fascinated to see whenever this season ends and however it ends for the Packers what his future is going to be, because both he and LaFleur have said, look, this isn't going to be a drag-it-out situation like we saw last offseason. This is going to be a thing where we make a decision and move on pretty quickly, whatever that means, whether it's staying in Green Bay and extending the contract or Aaron just saying, look, I'm moving on, going elsewhere. So that's going to happen pretty quick, but I think LaFleur is going to be the guy going forward here for at least the next couple of years, unless something goes horribly awry. He's just won too many football games and been too good for the organization for them to want to move on.
All right. Last question is this. 46 teams in the preseason AP Top 25 received at least a vote. 46. Not one vote for Wisconsin. They weren't one of those 46 teams. They're now number 8 in the country. Where the hell did the Wisconsin Badgers come from?
It's two words. Johnny Davis. This kid has made a meteoric leap from his freshman to his sophomore season to the point where he's very much in the National Player of the Year conversation. And I think he's going to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft. And nobody would have seen that coming freshman to sophomore year. He's developed in a tremendous way and put in a lot of work season to season. Now, he was a Mr. Basketball in the state of Wisconsin, so it's not like he came completely out of nowhere. He was on the high school radar and was pretty highly recruited, but he has been the difference. And when you have a transcendent player that probably could be playing in the NBA right now at some level, and he's playing Big Ten teams week in and week out, that helps a lot. The other thing, too, is as much as people, and I have been the chief critic of Brad Davison in terms of dirty play and some of the stuff that he's pulled off over the course of his decade and a half at Wisconsin. I can't believe he still has eligibility. But having that senior leadership and that mentality in your locker room certainly helps. So Johnny Davis is the simple answer to your question. Nobody saw the meteoric leap coming, and he has catapulted himself into a surefire lottery pick.
Yeah, if you haven't seen him play, folks, you need to take a look at it. 22.5 points per game, 7.5 rebounds per game. He is a tremendous player for the Wisconsin Badgers. You got an opportunity to see him go up against a good one in Michigan State tomorrow, so we'll get a big test for the Badgers on that one. Brian D. in Milwaukee, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
Always, guys. Take care.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Adam Teicher brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. You're looking for a great place, great game day atmosphere. That is Twin Peaks. Also a great happy hour. Yes, they've got all the games on, all the fights as well. So we got a UFC weekend. You can always catch the fights at the Twin Peaks. Make sure you check that out in Independence and Olathe. Adam Teicher is brought to you by Twin Peaks. No one does happy hour like Twin Peaks, whatever your preference. They got it all, whether it's tequila cocktails, an extensive bourbon category, top shelf spirits, cocktails served over ice balls. Curtis, you know about that. Local craft beers.
Yeah.
Handcrafted whiskey cocktails. It is a great drink menu, second to none. Don't forget about those 29-degree man-size draft beers there at Twin Peaks, plus a made-from-scratch menu that is second to none. Burgers are absolutely fantastic. You can get it to go as well. Go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com and take it home, or just grab yourself a seat at the bar or one of the tables, and the Twin Peaks ladies will be happy to come by and give you the great, great service that they are known for as well. Great, great spot to watch games, watch fights. It's Twin Peaks. Two great locations, Olathe and in Independence. You can find them online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. Adam Teicher, my friend, how are you?
Good, friend. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Some troubling stuff out there. I'm going to read from a Fox 4 report. Willie Gay pleading not guilty yesterday in court. There are some details that are given in this on Fox 4's website. It might be available other places as well, but this is where I saw it. Willie kept yelling, calling me names, and said he would be gone before the police got there. This is after the mother of his child said she was going to call the police. Said she texted Gay around 9 p.m. Wednesday and told him not to come over to see the baby because he was asleep. He insisted on coming over anyway. This alleges that court documents say Gay made jokes about her being a single mother. The two started arguing. The woman said she went to a room to call a friend. The friend advised her to call the police. That's the part I jumped into the middle of it. Willie kept yelling, calling me names, and said he would be gone before the police got there. He then got angry, snatched my phone, and hung up on the officer. The woman said Gay then aggressively pushed her into the couch and knocked everything off her counter and bar. According to the protection order, he also allegedly threw her vacuum about 20 feet in her apartment and threw her phone. Gay left the house before officers arrived. Quote, my son was sleeping on the couch the entire time. I've kind of heard this, but this is the first time I've seen it documented. She said the baby was born prematurely and is currently on oxygen all day. That's a stressful situation for both parents. The woman also details what she considers to be, quote, the worst incident, which happened in November of 21 at Overland Park Regional Medical Center. She said there their son was in the hospital on a ventilator and she was holding him. The boy's mother said Gay got upset, stood up, and allegedly pushed her while she was sitting in a chair holding the baby. Court documents say the baby almost fell out of her arms. She also alleges Gay has threatened to slap and or hit her before and fears for her safety. Today, Andy Reid said Willie Gay will play. When asked by, I think it was Sam McDowell who asked the question, how did you arrive at that decision? He said, because I've talked to, what did he say? I've talked to, do we have it? Can you find that one, Curtis? Because I want to play it. I don't want to paraphrase or get what Andy Reid said wrong. I want to let his words stand on their own. Tell me when you guys got that, guys. I'm sorry. A lot of things going, a lot of things moving in different directions here. But, you know, Okay. This is when Sam McDowell asked, like, hey, you know, he said, because Andy Reid wanted to cut it off at the pass and say, yes, when I say everybody practice but Rashad Fenton, that includes Willie Gay, and he will play on Sunday. Sam McDowell asked him about how did you arrive at that decision? Who did you talk to? Did you talk to Willie? What? How did you come to that conclusion?
Well, I decided he'd play. I'm not going to get into the conversations, so I'm going to do that. I decided that after just hearing some of the information there.
Listen, there's two sides to every story. We don't have Willie Gay's side to the story, but, you know, this is troubling. This comes on the heels of, on October 8th, him tweeting out that, love y'all, but my mental health right now is effed up. In college, he got into a fight with the quarterback on the team at Mississippi State. What do we think about where this stands right now and the decision for Willie Gay to be playing on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, that's some really sad stuff that you were reading there, you know, the stuff that's in the court documents. And you're right, it's one side of the story, so let's hear the other side. But I'm not sure what Andy Reid heard, you know. I don't know what he heard or what he didn't hear. I mean, he just refuses to answer that question, so... I don't know what he's thinking really on this either. You know, my sense is he wasn't aware of this stuff when he made his decision, but maybe he was. I don't know. It's just a crazy situation, and you know, sad for the woman involved, and sad for the baby, and hope, you know, if all this stuff is true, that Willie Gay gets the help he needs, you know, that someone provides that for him, because it's just a sad situation. As far as playing in the game, I can't imagine that the Chiefs are doing that right now with all this out there, but looks like they're going to.
You know, I think it's interesting. You know, I think we can look back now that you find these details about the baby being on oxygen, being born prematurely. You can understand where that text maybe came from back in October, where it could be a really difficult place to be for Willie Gay when that would be sent out there. And listen, I know the man loves to play football, and it's a passion of his, and he's really good at it. You know, we've come a long way on the mental health side of things. You know, Calvin Ridley in the middle of the season said, you know what, I got things I got to handle, and I can't do this right now. And he walked away from football at that time, hopefully to come back, you know, if that's what he truly wants to do. But he didn't play the rest of the year. I'm not in the conversations between Andy Reid and Willie Gay, but, you know, I really hope that, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are taking the time to make sure that Willie Gay is getting any and all help that he needs. And I'm going to add in, I you know, again, when they're so secretive, we have no idea what's going on behind the closed doors. And my hope, again, I hope that all these things are taking place. And I want to be clear, they may absolutely be taking place. But when Steve Spagnuolo, when I asked him on Thursday about Willie Gay, I said, hey, you know, have you talked to him? You know, and what are your thoughts about this incident coming on the heels of what he tweeted out in October about his mental health being, quote, all effed up? And he said, I wasn't aware of that incident. Like,
yep.
And let me add another one. Is it Damon? I've almost said Will Arnett. Will Arnett's the old Saturday Night guy. Damon Arnett is signed to a futures contract. Listen, again, I want to be clear. I don't know what all they've talked about. I don't know where, you know, what all is going on behind closed doors. They don't let us in on that. But right now, it's certainly, if you were to look at this and say, you know, somebody said, well, how's this working? You know, tone deaf? Could be perceived as one of the conclusions with this series of things that are going on. It seems to be that, like, maybe they're not quite as in touch with, you know, their players, and maybe not quite as in touch with what's going on in society today as they should be. Is that at least fair to offer that as a distinct possibility?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think the evidence is there. You know, no doubt. You know, I think the Chiefs could be a little more forthcoming on some of this stuff. You know, I don't see what the harm is there. You know, but that's the way the Chiefs operate. So we're left to kind of fill in some of the blanks because they don't explain some of these things a lot of the time.
Yeah, it is. So Willie Gay's going to play. Or do you think that maybe you said, maybe the Chiefs didn't know. Maybe they're scrambling now after Andy Reid's comments and maybe some of this information that's come to light and this report is new to them. I would think that they would have been privy to all the court information before Andy Reid spoke today, right?
I would think so. And it's hard to say, hey, it's 48 hours from kickoff. So, the Chiefs can make, they can change their minds on this without a doubt, after seeing this stuff. And maybe they will. I just he just seemed pretty convicted today that he just made his decision and this is it. And I don't know if maybe he's interested in this kind of information. I don't know. He doesn't say. So he keeps everything close to the vest. Maybe he is interested in it. Maybe he isn't. We'll never know because he refuses to answer those kinds of questions.
Yeah. Can we say this? And again, I'm connecting dots and talking in hypotheticals, but if, and I'm not trying to be flippant and I'm not trying to be in your face to anybody over at Arrowhead, I want the child, the woman, and Willie. That's where your concerns are, that they get everything figured out. If they didn't know about it, Kareem Hunt was cut because he lied to the organization.
Yep,
at least is what they is that that's what they told us, right? So if they weren't aware of all this information, then we would seem to be at a Kareem Hunt point with Willie Gay.
Yeah, I mean, they apparently Kareem Hunt gave them a different version of things than what happened in that video that later came out. And so when that video came out, then all of a sudden the Chiefs said, well, you lied to us. We trusted you, and you lied to us, so you're gone. I don't know what Willie Gay told Andy Reid, but apparently the Chiefs, because we don't know, but apparently the Chiefs are taking Willie Gay's side of the story as what really happened. So, there's probably no video that's ever going to come out of what happened in that apartment right that night, but there's a distinct possibility if one does exist and it surfaces, the Chiefs may end up saying to Willie Gay, you know what, you weren't truthful with us, you're gone. So, but I don't know. We're way out in a hypothetical land there with that one.
I want to define what's going on, and I want to be clear that there's two sides to every story. We're only getting one side right now. Andy Reid believes that he has both sides, and he's made his decision, and the Chiefs are going to move forward with it. I'll also point out that I think Willie Gay has always been a thoughtful, nice guy by what the dealings I've been with him, and I've seen him. Everything on the air, but I've also seen him on the record, but I've also seen him in some situations off the record, and he seemed like nothing but a nice individual to me. That this seems out of character, but Todd Lebo said for a long time, you never really know anyone. Unless you live with him, you don't really know everybody. So we will see how it plays out. We also heard today Andy Reid confirming that while at that time Eric Bieniemy had not interviewed with the Broncos, even though reports had him already interviewing with the Broncos. He was going to interview with the Broncos today, and he said, he got practice in, and seeming to make it clear that, listen, that's not a distraction. He's not missing practice to go interview for the Broncos. He also said earlier that he thinks he's going to – I think it was on Monday he said he thinks Eric Bieniemy is going to get a head coaching job this time. I believe that owners talk and the higher elites, like an Andy Reid, are in that kind of inner circle. I believe Andy Reid knows he's already got a job. Do you think it's that much of a done deal as well?
It could be. I don't have any knowledge of that myself. If it's true, I don't know that, so I really can't say. But it's
right.
Certainly possible. But I don't know that right now.
Can we at least say this? I would be shocked. Would you also be shocked if Andy Reid was wrong after making that statement? A guy who seemingly likes to keep everything out, doesn't ever want to detail anything, would then volunteer that? Maybe I'm totally missing the boat, and this is Andy Reid's way of trying to cheerlead Eric Bieniemy into a gig, and not that he needs his cheerleading, but just trying to think positive and get his guy the gig that he thinks he deserves. I just don't think Andy Reid's the kind of guy that would volunteer that unless he already knew it.
Well, I think it's more what you suggested, that maybe he's trying to be a cheerleader and leading the charge for Eric Bieniemy. Because hasn't Reed said things similar to that in the past? I mean, in previous years, like, hasn't he said, oh, yeah, I think Eric Bieniemy is going to get a job? I mean, I don't know exactly what his words were, but I don't feel like it's any different this time around than it was in the past. I don't get any different sense in that regard.
Maybe your memory is better than mine. I don't remember that, but maybe it's because I'm old and tired and you know, too many Coronas. And so I'm not remembering. I don't remember him saying, I think he's going to get a job. I remember him saying he deserves one. He could do everything. He'd be great. But I don't remember him saying that. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is just old age. On the football field, are you like everybody else, at least in this town, of the belief that this is the Super Bowl, or at least the AFC Championship game? Whoever wins this is going to LA, or maybe Dallas, I guess, if they would switch that. But is going to the Super Bowl, if not winning it?
Yeah, I do think these are the two best teams in the AFC, and this is the de facto AFC Championship game. And I think whoever wins this game is going to look at next week. I mean, it's a big game, and it won't be easy, whoever they play, Cincinnati or Tennessee. But I think they'll look back when they're in the Super Bowl, whoever wins this game, and saying, you know what, that was our toughest game on the road to the to get to L.A.
Do you believe that Josh Allen can come even close to playing as well as he did last week against the Patriots in a second consecutive week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he can play like that. I mean, that's some classic stuff. But you know, he certainly played well against the Chiefs the last time around. You know, the Chiefs have to do a better job against him. I really thought it was interesting yesterday, Steve Spagnuolo talking about him. You know, the way he runs the ball and how he, you know, I've never really talked to my team before about how to tackle a quarterback. We've talked about how to tackle Josh Allen. I mean, you know, it's a concern the way he can hurdle runners and big strong guy. He can move. He's fast. So for a quarterback, yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot there. I'm not going to predict 5 touchdowns from either of these quarterbacks on Sunday night, but who knows? I mean, what a great matchup, though, right? I mean, I don't think there's ever been a game where two quarterbacks are coming into a game and coming off 5 TD games. So what a matchup this is, though, right?
Yeah, no, it's a great one. All right, when it's all said and done, who wins? What do you think the score is?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this a bunch of times. I'll take the Chiefs 27-24, that kind of score. But, it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see it go the other way. But I just feel like the Chiefs are in such a better place than they were the last time around when they played the Bills. I think that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Chiefs are a lot better team. I do think it needs to be noted, I think the Bills are a better team now. Maybe not on defense, but
yeah,
I think they're better on offense. I mean, losing Tre'Davious White is key. Like, if the Chiefs roll, they're going to be like, well, if we had Tre'Davious White, I'm like, yeah, well, it would have been different. I don't know how much different, but and I do think, you know, Singletary, Singletary, running with the ball, like, has added a new dimension to him. But I, you know, it looks like a classic, but sometimes when you get two teams with this kind of firepower, somebody has a bad day and then somebody get there ends up being a blowout. So, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out for sure. Adam, you're the man. Appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the game and we'll talk next week.
Good stuff, Seren. Talk to you next week.
All right, Adam Teicher from ESPN, been covering the Chiefs, going all the way back since 1994. We will take a break, come back, more on the Chiefs next.
The program with Seren Petro.
Curtis.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. What NFL franchise has played the most road games without a win? That's the Bengals. They are 0-7. The fact they've averaged just 200 yards a game on offense, those 7 games, could be a problem.
So they're 0-7 in playoff road games?
Mm-hmm.
Great Cajun food from Jazz. No O for a Jazz. You're always a winner if you go to Jazz. Great place to meet buddies for a cocktail and some apps, or the whole meal for the whole family. Live music, great Cajun food at Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Go to jazzkitchen.com to see their extensive made-from-scratch menu. Remember, they cater as well. Curtis, I think we have covered this game in almost every way possible. Don't you think?
I think so.
But we're not done.
In some ways that weren't possible.
Yeah, and we're not done. We still have Kevin Harlan. We'll get Kevin Harlan's opinion on this.
He'll find something.
He's going to be doing the Packers and Niners game, so we'll get his thoughts on that one as well. The great Kevin Harlan coming up after our Need to Know next.
Time for our Deli Fresh End of the Hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC Sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, Chiefs Bills will be the second pair of original AFL teams to meet in the postseason five times. What's the other pair? Brought to you by Good Sense.